I'm replacing Angela in this presentation. I participated. I didn't have a central participation in this investigation, but there are some other researchers of this study here, so could help us with if I cannot answer a question. So as Amaya mentioned before, HIV prevalence is high in MSM in Peru, while it is very low in other populations like sex workers and the general population. So we have an epidemic, concentrated epidemic in the country. There are a few studies that have shown high STI and HIV risk in some bridge populations, but not much work has been done on male and transgender sex workers. So this study has three objectives. The first is to identify and describe male and transgender women venues, so MTSW from now on. And second one is to describe the sex workers found in those venues. And the third is to enumerate the MTSWs at those venues. This study included participants in all 49 districts of Lima. Lima is by far the largest city in Peru and accounts for almost one third of its population and is the capital city of the country. This method PLACE stands for Priorities for Local AIDS Control Efforts, and it's a rapid assessment tool for, to monitor and improve AIDS prevention program coverage in areas where HIV transmission is most likely to occur, and was used in this, for this project. Four steps in the process: the development of a PLACE strategy, and I'm not going to go over that that component. Then identification of possible MTSW venues, and then the verification of these MTSW venues and description of them, and finally the description of the people that goes to the sex workers that go to those venues. So, as part of the step two in this process. The idea was to identify all possible MTSW venues. For that, 755 interviews to key informants were carried out. Those were carried out in areas where sex work was offered or around those areas. And as you can see, many different key informants were interviewed. In order to have a picture as complete as possible of all these sex work venues in the city. For that part, interviewers use paper logs. They completed some important data in order to be able to locate those venues. So these informants reported a total of 1,754 possible MTSW venues in Lima. So after reviewing and comparing them, that number got reduced to 447 venues, because there were many that were reported by more than one informant. So the third step was to go to those places, to the 447 possible venues, and verify if they were they actually existed as places, and if they were actually sex war venues. Once in there, the key informants were interviewed, and among other things, they were asked about the peak number of MTSWs at those venues. And that was used to estimate the total number of male and transgender sex workers in the city. And those estimates were then compared to the estimates made in phase two in a capture-recapture study I will describe later. So, of those 447 possible MTSW venues, many did not exist. Many were not actually MTSW venues, and 81 were confirmed as MTSW venues. Of those 81, 21 were only 28 were only for MSW, 49 only for TSWs, and 4 were both for male and transgender sex workers. So you can see that there is a big segregation of venues. These venues were mapped in the city, and as you can see here, most of the venues identified were public places like streets and parks. And well, there were all sorts of venues, including the house of a trans woman. The last step was to describe MTSW found at those venues. For that, a random sample was of those venues was selected, and interviews were carried out in them. I'm not going to present the results of those interviews. Those were presented in two posters in this meeting, and one the data on MSWs is still pending. It has not been presented yet. To carry out this survey, up to 20 MS sex workers were interviewed in each venue, and for that, for those interviews, we use smartphones with the program Magpie. So, as you can see here, many of the venues were streets, but the sex work services were offered even at the house of a sex worker. For the phase two, the capture-recapture method was used, and for those of you that are not familiar with this method, this method is used by biologists, but also has been used for male and female and transgender sex workers. This method is based in the capture, so identification of member of a hidden group, in this case male and transgender sex workers, and then you need to tag those participants in some way, and then in a new visit later, you capture again, and you identify what proportion of those captured in the first visit are capture again. So you extrapolate with that the number of participants that were not captured in the first nor in the second capture, and that will give you an estimate of the total population. So you cannot put actual tax on people; it would be unethical. So for that process, we designed calendars that didn't have any direct clue to identify the holders as MSM. These were just calendars that people could carry in their wallets. And they were individually numbered, so we could identify where the person got that tag and when. So that was the method of to identify people being recaptured. So this slide shows the results of the capture recapture method and the place method. So for male sex workers, the place method identified 357 male sex workers. This is the report of the key informants in each venue. And the capture-recapture method identified 542 male sex workers. This method allows you to even estimate a confidence interval. And for trans women sex workers, the place method identified 443 sex workers, while the capture-recapture identified 677 sex workers. The advantage of the capture-recapture method is that it also allows you to estimate the number of participants that are not seen, not only ones that are seen at the place. So, what are the next steps for these studies? Well, this study was restricted to physical venues, so places where you could actually go. But the plan is to include in future studies those that offer virtual services, for instance, over the internet or telephone. As part of this study, also an intervention, a pilot intervention will be tested, and of course there is a plan of sharing these results with institutions working with MTSWs in Lima. So I want to acknowledge all the participants in the study and the surveyors and the funding agency. Thank you.
Any questions? Oh, would you mind coming to the microphone, please?
Congratulations, Cesar, for this presentation. Only a few questions. Can you explain the limitations of capture and recapture method for sample size calculation? Sample population, size population calculation. And do you think in Lima you have almost 10 million of inhabitants? And do you think you have trans-sex gender women between 500 to 600? Is possible, or do you think you have more?
Okay. In the late 90s, we conducted a similar study, but not limited to sex workers, but to all MSM, and the number then was much higher. It was between 15,000 to 25,000 MSM. So this is this study is restricted to those that offer sex services at physical venues. So this is a small subpopulation, but at the highest risk. So I agree with you. This is not the total number of MSM, or not even the total number of transgender women in the city. So it's, this is only the tip of the iceberg, but those at highest risk. Regarding the limitations of the methods, of course there are limitations. In biology, the terminology comes from biology. So one of the most important problems is trap avoidance and trap addiction. So if you think about mice, putting traps for mice in the field, if the incentive you put cheese as a bait in the traps. And if the mice like very much the cheese, they will not mind being captured and recaptured again, as long as they get the cheese. But if the capture is too bad for them, they will only be catched once. They will never go again to a cage. So that will be the first case will be trap addiction. The second case will be trap avoidance. In this case, the incentive were only condoms and lubricants for recapturing them. And the incentive was just a calendar, so they didn't get anything more for being registered in the system for being tagged. Just receive a card. So of course that can be a limitation if people, for instance, the ones that participate have a characteristic that makes them more likely to be recaptured again. Then you will underestimate the total number of sex workers. If they avoid you, once they know what it is about, they just don't want. They're not interested in condoms or lubricants, and they want go away from you. Then you will overestimate the number of sex workers. Any other questions?
Good morning. My name is Sergio Farfán from New Orleans. I have a question. You talk about sex workers a lot. Is prostitution legal in Lima? Because your study was focused basically in Lima. And the other question is, you talk about transgender women. Do you have any studies on transgender men? Because there's really important in the gay population, we all, for many years, it's like the transgender population has been the forgotten population in our gay community.
Mm-hmm.
And which kind of best practices or intervention you have in Lima or in Peru, and if you include mothers, because in our Latino community, we know that the mothers, they are really important part of our culture. And here in the United States, there's some best practices that we call Promotoras de Salud that was transferring from Mexico to here. And it's has been working so far with a good result because we involve the mothers, and that's the one that had a lot of influence on the family. And I don't know if you, I know there's too many questions, but.
Yeah, no problem. Okay.
Thank you.
There are no laws against prostitution in Peru. So prostitution is not illegal. It's not well regulated, but it's not illegal. There are services that openly offer sex services from males from females. Regarding the different subpopulations, including the studies, this study was focused on male sex workers and transgender women. Here I may be making a mistake, but my understanding is that the term is used for males that changed their sex into females. So they were born as chromosomically as males. That's the group that we're including.
No, the question was, is females that were born as females and they transferred to males?
Yes, okay. So that I understood well your question at the beginning. So for that second group, unfortunately in Peru, because of stigma, population, I think, is still even more hidden than the male transgender population. So that's not something that you will frequently see in Peru. And within the male and transgender women, most of the previous studies have included a large number of gay identified or heterosexually identified MSM and other subpopulations that are the ones that participate the most, but are not the ones at highest risk. So the highest HIV prevalences have been found in sex workers, male sex workers, and even higher in transgender women. So that's the idea behind this study. But if you see earlier studies, they include mostly gay or heterosexual identified men. So there has been a lot of work in that area.
Great. Well, thank you so much. And I want to ask, is Laura Alves-Souza here? Oh, you are here. Okay, great. Thank you so much. And now I pass it over to Dr. Carcamo, who will now be moderating.